Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
I hope that this time spent together will be a blessing to you, an encouragement, and because my whole heart is here for you. I beg the Lord to give me a way to serve Him in a more public way because I have been so richly blessed since I became Catholic, and just so many wonderful things have happened in my life as a result of being Catholic. And I just want you to know that my heart goes out to you, and I pray for you to have joy, for you to have peace, for you to have all that Jesus offers us as Catholics. But today, I would like to return a little bit to a couple of Lenten lessons that I have had, and also that I think would be profitable for you, or anyone actually, whether you're, Catholic or not. As long as you're Christian, this should resonate with you. But I'm not sure if you realize it, but with all of the ideas of Lent, of fasting, praying, and all those sort of things, you may not realize that Lent is actually a time of healing. That's what Lent is all about. It's about healing. Healing our relationships, healing our souls, learning how to resist temptations and to overcome strongholds of sin that have incapacitated us at times or keep tormenting us at times. It's a really wonderful time to take advantage of the grace of this time of year. And I love Lent. My friends are tired of me saying, Happy Lent, Happy Lent. But it really is. If you didn't grow up with it, you may not realize, or even if you did grow up with Lent and it's just an old, standby tradition in your mind, you may not realize how magnificent this time of year is. So instead of saying, oh, well, Lent's almost over, let's just get prepared for Easter, I'm still in the Lenten mode because every moment of Lent has the power of God in it for you and for me. So one thing, though, is, perhaps you are a little disappointed in yourself. You've come through Lent this far, and you're not happy with maybe some of your inability or unwillingness to keep some of the commitments that you were aiming for. Maybe you're not being as faithful as you intended to be when you first started out. It kind of reminds me of New Year's resolutions. We all have hopes for the new year. We all have hopes for the Lenten season. And we start out gung-ho and sometimes it doesn't turn out quite the way that we want it to. And it can be discouraging. But I want to encourage you today because I was dealing with some of this myself recently, and I'll point that out to you later. But I was talking to the Lord about how I felt like I had failed Him in a few things of my Lenten intentions, and it was sad to me, and I was talking to him about it. And I heard the little voice, and those of you who are Christian know what that little voice is. And it said, Rita, and you'll probably recognize this from somewhere in Scripture, Rita, you are worried about many things. There is only one thing necessary. Is that what he's saying to you today? You are worried about many things concerning Lent, but there's only one thing necessary. And then he laid on my heart these words, give me your heart. Seek me first, and all of these other things that you had intended or that you need help with, or that you're disappointed you weren't able to do or haven't committed to doing enough, that'll all take care of itself. So give me your heart, said to me. And I realized, I remembered when Jesus said in Scripture, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. I realized that all of those practices and things that I intended to do, some I did, some I didn't, were actually steps towards the goal. And the goal is a really rich and renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. To be refreshed during this Lenten season. To seek out those things that I need to be more aware of that maybe I've been ignoring, or maybe I wasn't even aware that I was doing or failing to do that the Lord would prefer for me to be involved in during this Lenten time. And so I realized, okay, I can do what I can, but my goal, my desire, my real Lenten experience is to give him my heart. To give him my heart. And then everything else will follow. In Scripture, you know, Jesus even talked about what is the most important commandment. What is the most important commandment? And love the Lord your God with all your heart first, mind and strength. With all your heart, mind and strength. Okay, so the first most important commandment is to love him with all our heart. And to do that, we make ourselves open. We spend time with him in prayer. And I'm not talking about around a whole bunch of other people. That's good. Community prayer is extremely powerful. And I completely believe in it because I've seen the results of it. But there's a scripture that says, come away, my beloved. Come away, my beloved. He wants us to come and sit with him. Maybe pray the rosary and then listen, or look at scripture and then listen, ponder, you know, just some quiet time with him, because that's where we will get to know. That's where he will speak to our hearts and tell us, hey, you know, you're really off base here, or I can see you've really been trying, and I appreciate those efforts. You know, maybe do it this way, or maybe add this to it, or whatever. He will speak to you. He will speak to you. So anyway, I want to encourage you to, first and foremost, starting today for the rest of this Lenten experience, give him your heart. Google it, or search online, how do I give God my heart? there's all kinds of things, but I just want to, today I want to focus on just the fact that it's a good thing to give him our hearts. In scripture, you know me, I love sacred scripture. It's powerful and effective. And I looked up some scriptures. I want to share them with you. In the book of Proverbs, it says, give me your heart. This is the Lord speaking. Give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. Give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. And he says your eyes because when you give him your heart, you will see a difference in life. You will see. You will see. And then in Hosea, he says in chapter 6, I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offering. He's saying that, you know, any of your sacrifices, your Lenten sacrifices or intentions or actions or prayers, all of that should come from love of him first and then love of neighbor. He, love of him, is what he desires more than anything. More than anything. He loves you so much. So much. It almost brings me to tears. Think that some of you all don't know that. You doubt it. You think that no one could love me or no one is as bad as me and all that sort of thing. Let me tell you, you are so wrong. I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up. You are so wrong. He loves you so much. And you know what? Jesus told us to pray for our enemies. To forgive our enemy, the greatest sin, the greatest injustice ever carried out in the world was when they put him to death. God himself they put to death because they canceled him. They thought he was the scumbag. And you know what? On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. He says that to you. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. He loves you so much. There's nothing you could have ever done that would have separated you so much from him that it can't be forgiven. And that's a lot of what Lent's about. Realizing, hey, I've had shortcomings, but I want to love him, and I want to do what he wants me to do, because his love is real love. We all want love. We were created, Mother Teresa says, and many saints have said, and the church says, scripture says, we were created to love and to be loved. Our whole being seeks to love God and others, and to be loved by God and others. It's God is love, so that's what we want all the time, and we make a lot of attempts at love, of giving and receiving, and sometimes we don't do it the right way. But we still are made for it. And God is. Jesus came to show us how much love God the Father has for us. He taught us how to live in that love personally and in community and in the world. So Lent is a really important time of the year to reconnect, to let go of the false love and the false God, and reconnect with the one true God and with who we really have been created to be. And so here we go. In 1 Samuel, Samuel his little prophet. He was the one that went and anointed David, who was to become king. But he did more than that. But anyway, in chapter 15, the 1 Samuel, it says, Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to listen is better than offering the fat of bread. Excuse me. He's basically saying here that whatever you feel compelled to give during Lent or any time of the year, anything you feel compelled to offer to the Lord, it comes from love first, obeying him, and living with him. Then all that other stuff comes. I read a book a few years ago, and I keep referring to it at times. It's called The Soul of the Apostolate. The Soul of the Apostolate. I've actually given it to a few young priests who were newly ordained, because it's all about prayer and how important prayer is in establishing a relationship with the Lord and also communing with him and hearing things and to respond to him. And it says in there, basically, if you are not willing to spend time in prayer with him, you're not going to be in communion with him in the way that you could be, in a profound, amazing, miraculous way. And no, you could go off and be doing all these works or even teaching, whatever, for the Lord, but if you're not in prayer and not in union with him in an intimate way, you might be doing something good, but not what he wants you to do. So you have to have that discernment, and that comes through prayer. Right? So, and here in Joel chapter 2, it says, "Yet even now, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your hearts, tear open your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting in punishment. Even now, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning." I'll tell you, I've done a fair amount of weeping and mourning lately about the spiritual condition of the world, of some of the people that I know personally, of people in general in our nation and around the world, the leaders, the people, et cetera, et cetera, even in the church, everywhere. I have cried a lot, and I have prayed a lot. Not that I'm saying that I'm all that perfect and holy, because I'm not. But I see so many people who are lukewarm, who aren't really committed to the Lord, who don't know the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. And they are very, very poor and don't realize it. Poor in spirit, but in a negative way. And I really, you know, as goes the heart, so goes the world. If the world is in chaos and anger and frustration, because our hearts are in chaos, anger, and frustration. And I'm hoping, if not next week, sometime soon, to talk more about the conditions of our heart. I talked to you about it some last week, and Pope Francis, his very last letter to all of us was on the conditions of our hearts and how cold-hearted we have become. And I want to speak some more about that, because when we have warm, open, soft, beautiful hearts in tune with the Lord, great things happen, healings happen, love happens, real love, not just the kindness kind of love or the conditional kind of love. So anyway, he says, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting in punishment. And I have a little bit more time before my halftime, so I'm going to share with you briefly, hopefully I can get some of it done. I want to share with you an article that I read, because one of the things that most of us need healing of is unforgiveness. And this is the perfect time of year to concentrate on that. Lack of forgiveness. And this article came from the Carmelites. I don't know which one, and it doesn't have an author on it, so I can't give them credit, but it is from the Carmelite Connection. And so carmelite.org.uk from UK. And I'm going to read this to you. Title was, Unforgiveness is a Prison. Unforgiveness is a prison. There's a story I return to often. A woman visits a therapist carrying decades of bitterness toward her father. He was cruel, absent, dismissive. The wounds were very real. He ruined my life, she said. The therapist listens, then gently. He may have wounded your life, but you spent 30 years furnishing the prison cell. The bars are real, but you're the one who keeps polishing them. Harsh? Perhaps. There's a fear we need to face. Unforgiveness is a prison. And the strangest thing about it is this. We often prefer the cell to the freedom outside of it. Why? Because the prison is familiar. The resentment gives us an identity. We know who we are when we're the wronged party, the victim, the one who was betrayed. To forgive would mean giving up that identity and stepping into the unknown. Because the prison feels like justice, someone has to pay what happened. If they won't, then we'll pay. With our peace, our joy, and our freedom, at least then the scales aren't completely unbalanced. Do you see what they're saying here? Sometimes we are so used to being in that state of unforgiveness, especially towards somebody in particular who really hurt us at some point or disappointed us. That person isn't even aware a lot of times, or doesn't know how to fix it because we're so intent on not forgiving. And we imprison ourselves in that state of life, that thought process. And to give it up means giving up that identity of that being that victim and that anger and that pain and going out into uncharted territory. And that can be frightening. It can be frightening, I know. And also, this prison that we have put ourselves into in unforgiveness is like, well, that person deserves to suffer because of what they've done or failed to do. And someone has to pay for that. And if that person isn't available to pay for it, then who are we taking it out on? We're taking it out on ourselves. And I don't mean to act like it's funny. It's not funny. Not funny. We are doing intense harm to ourselves, even more sometimes than what happened to us in the past. Oh, and then this prison also, the article goes on to say, this prison feels like protection. If I stay angry, I won't be hurt again. Except, of course, we are every day by the very anger we're using as a shield. Now, one thing I have to say is, I completely understand where they're coming from. this shield that you put up. It's almost like a wall of anger that protects you from being hurt again. But you're actually being hurt by not being open to new experiences that can heal that. But I understand how that hurt can feel. And it goes on to say, here's what I've learned in my own life and in walking with others. The one most imprisoned by unforgiveness is never the offender. It's always us, the ones that have had things happen to us. The person who hurt you may not even remember what they did. They're living their life unbothered. Meanwhile, you're serving a life sentence for their crime. What if you walked out of the cell? What if you walked out of this prison that you have helped form for yourself? Not by pretending the wound doesn't exist, not by excusing what happened, but by choosing slowly with the grace of God, one step at a time, to stop polishing the bars of the prison, to stop living there. One step at a time, by the grace of God, letting him heal those wounds, those attitudes, that anger, all of that. One step at a time. Okay? Not through willpower, but through an encounter with Jesus Christ, who descends into the prison of death and broke it open from the inside. He is the answer to your unforgiveness. I have to take a break in a little bit. Not quite yet, but when I come back, I would like to talk to you a little bit more about forgiveness, but I really want to share with you a really heavy-duty thing that happened to me a couple of weeks ago, and I put it on my paper as darkness. Are any of you feeling overwhelmed? Are any of you in despair? Are any of you feeling overwhelmed by darkness right now? Then please, come back with me after this commercial break, and we will talk about that. Okay? I'll see you in a little bit.
This is Pat Lawley. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years. So it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world, and wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, my friends. I'm Rita Hauck-Lane, your host for the next half hour. In the last hour, I was sharing with you about how much I love Lent and what a great healing time Lent can be for all of us. And I shared some information about that and also ended with the topic of unforgiveness as a prison. And I read an article about it and how, how we can dwell in this lack of forgiveness and relive these injuries and wounds for years and years and years. And the person or persons who have wounded us have moved on with their lives, and here we are still reliving those wounds over and over again. And creating a prison for ourselves that doesn't allow us to let go and live in the moment and in the beauty of what God wants to give us today. Obviously, we need grace from Him to do this, to forgive people that have hurt us, and even to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we have done things that we just can't forgive ourselves for. Well, you know, the Lord can help you with that too. And really help you with it. So, anyway, there's one more thing I would like to share about that. Jesus in Scripture says in Matthew, Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Multiple, infinite times. We are to forgive, no matter how often we are called to do that. He says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, why would he say such a thing? Okay, why would he say such a thing? Not only did he say such a thing, he showed us such a thing. Here he was being murdered, an innocent man murdered in a horrible, horrible way. And he said, Father, forgive them. Okay, because God forgives us no matter what we've done. If we go to him with a contrite heart and truly mean it and ask for forgiveness, he will forgive anything. Anything. So he is saying, he said, pray for your enemies. So he has an open heart to everyone. So I want to share just a little bit of this other article from the Catholic World Report, Archbishop Samuel Aquila. He says here, as we begin, this was earlier. In fact, it was 2 years ago. As we begin the season of Lent, I want to remind each of us that mercy is at the heart of the gospel message, of the essential importance that forgiveness plays in our lives, and how crucial it is for our country right now. Those of us who have received the mercy of God play a unique role in extending forgiveness to others and healing our land. I'm going to repeat that last sentence. Those of us who have received the mercy of God play a unique role in extending forgiveness to others and healing our land. In this pastoral note, I want to emphasize 4 points about forgiveness and mercy and why they are especially needed now. First, forgiveness is God's nature. Jesus is clear that he did not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. The mercy of God the Father, who welcomes sinners with open arms and propels us to conversion, is a gift to everyone seeking it and is meant to be shared with others. Second, you have been forgiven by God for your sin, and in turn, you need to forgive others for theirs. Forgiveness is not only in God's nature, but it is required of those who have received it. We can ask God for help if we find it difficult to understand what it means to forgive or how to do it. We all need the grace of God to do this. All. And it won't necessarily come immediately after someone has hurt us or we've been disappointed. It might take a while, but with God's grace, it is possible. And then Archbishop Aquila goes on to say, third, forgiving others is necessary for our own healing and freedom. Forgiving others is necessary for our own healing and freedom. Unforgiveness does imprison us. Imprisons our emotions, imprisons our thoughts, imprisons our actions. How many times do you avoid somebody because they weren't exactly the way you wanted them to be, right? And then fourth, forgiveness is desperately needed to renew our society. What are we focusing on in this society today? It's all the injuries and insults and the wrong things done and all that sort of thing. So forgiveness is essential and desperately needed to renew our society. So first, forgiveness is God's nature. Second, you have been given forgiven by God for your certain sins, and in turn you need to forgive others for theirs. Third, forgiving others is necessary for our own healing and freedom. And fourth, it's desperately needed to renew our families, our churches, our work, our whole entire society. Today in the gospel was about the woman caught in adultery. And, you know, the Pharisees brought her to Jesus and said, hey, you know, this woman was caught in adultery. Our laws say that she must be stoned to death. And what do you say? Okay. Well, he knelt down and he wrote on the ground. And some theologians think that what he was writing on the ground was all the sins of those accusing this woman. And when they saw that, they turned and walked away. They gave up on this quest because they realized that they too were sinners. So that's what we need to realize. When we don't want to forgive someone because of something they've done, we need that. What makes it possible to forgive them to a degree by the grace of God is seeing our own failures. We're in the past or now. We're not perfect either. So people can make mistakes. Grievous, awful. Okay? But by the grace of God, we can overcome them. All right, so maybe for Lent, you spend a little bit more time giving the Lord your heart, as I said in the first half hour. Give him your heart. Do whatever you need to do to be more close to him, and not necessarily to be serving him so much as to really, of course, it's a great time to serve, but make sure it's coming from your heart out of love for him, not out of guilt or whatever. Okay? So now I'd like to share with you something that happened to me. And it's all about darkness. And it was a couple of weeks ago, but it had been building over a few months. I was trying to find the prayer that I used during that time, but I couldn't lay my hands on it right away, so I'm just going to have to share without it. you know, like, this has been building over the last 6 months or so, what happened to me. But it really started to crescendo or grow during this Lenten season. It was subtle. You know, if you've ever experienced it, emotional abuse is a very subtle thing that happens over time. And it builds and builds and builds, and you almost can't, almost not aware of it until it's like almost destroyed you. So basically, this is what happened. The evil one is very, very, very clever. He started off with a little of an inadequacy on my part, or a failure, in quotes, on my part. And he would kind of beat me up. You know, they say another name for him is the accuser. The accuser. So that's what he's good at. He knows your weaknesses. He will accuse you in your thoughts. He will accuse you in your thoughts. And sometimes when you're weak for some reason or another, they really can get a hold of you. So it started off very subtly. Then it grew in intensity. And in fact, it became a mountain of oppressing thoughts about being worthless, failure, overwhelmed, etc., which was so very not like me. The people that know me, I am a woman of faith. I have been through so much in my life, and I have given all of that to the Lord, and I have grown because I clung to him and I believed his promises, and even though it was tough, I've been through it and I've come through on the other side. So I always have hope. I'm always encouraging people to don't give up. Don't give in to this. And what was happening to me was so foreign to me. And I didn't realize that I was being oppressed by the evil one. Now, some of you know, I have been on retreats with exorcist priests. I have been helping a priest who is not a formal exorcist priest. He's in deliverance of people that have, you know, oppressions and that sort of thing. I know how I've once led studies on the evil one. I know how he works. Yet he was so subtle with me and attacking my weakest points, the things that are most vulnerable to me. That's what he was doing. And I just didn't see it. Okay? Spiritual events, things that happen in our lives that are spiritual like this, are very hard to describe with words. I understand St. John in the book of Revelation now more. I've been growing in knowledge of this over the last 5 years. But there are certain things that happen in the spiritual life that are almost impossible to describe, good and bad. And so therefore, you know, my words are not going to be adequate. But this literally felt like a huge, huge physical weight was pressing on me, holding me down. I could hardly function. I could hardly function. And this reached a peak on Monday, March 9th. Monday is my radio day, Facebook day. It was so bad. I was praying. There are certain little spiritual weapon prayers that ask and pray, like, in the name of Jesus, evil one who is causing me despair, be gone from me in the name of Jesus, and go to the foot of the cross, and come, Holy Spirit, come and fill that area with your joy and your healing. I was doing those prayers, and I would get some relief, but it was just temporary. Then it would come crashing in on me again. But I went to Mass that morning, as I always do on Monday morning, before, you know, on the day I'm going to be doing most days, but especially on Monday. So I went to Mass, and I was just so overwhelmed with this darkness and this weight that I asked a couple of friends at Mass to pray for me. They didn't know what I was asking about. I didn't have time to go into detail, but they said they would, and I knew they would. But it was so bad that day that I was so tempted, and this is how I came to understand something else was going on besides my own maybe depression or something going on. I was tempted to not do my show that day. I couldn't focus on what I needed to talk about. I was a mess. And I almost gave up. But I have learned through my life that that is when you have to persevere. If you don't feel like it, you do it anyway. Because it's for Him, not for me. And He's promised the grace to do it. So I did not cancel my live show that day. I went in and I did it. I could have easily called and had a replacement rerun put on, but no. I just knew in my gut I had to do this. So I did. But in the meantime, because of that attack on me trying to keep me from doing the radio, I finally, I feel really dense now, began to realize that I was being attacked by evil forces in ways like I've never experienced before. So what I decided was I would go into action. I would do the show. And whatever may be, may be. So I went by faith, not by feelings. There were no feelings of, you know, joy, no feelings of, this is what I'm supposed to do, blah, blah, blah. It was, I just did by faith in God's promises. So I prayed. I did a sacrifice of praise. I read a praising psalm from scripture, and I have a handbook that I received from an exorcist priest that has deliverance prayers in it for the laity, as well as the ones that the priests use, the exorcist priests use. I can't use the exorcist priest ones, but it's nice to see what they pray. But I used a deliverance prayer from that book. And next week, I hope to pray that with you. And I felt a lightness. And so I made the commitment to go to the studio, and I did it. And I persevered, relying on the grace and promises of God and of course, the help of Our Lady. I did the show in spite of how I felt. During and after, a lightness started coming upon me, some relief, and the weight started to lift. It felt physically like weight was being lifted off of me. The next day, I went to confession, and I called that the icing on the cake of the situation, because I received tremendous grace from that, excellent advice from my confessor, and I have not been troubled by that weight and that oppression since then. I have not. And that shows me, you know, big, huge warning signs. That was definitely evil oppression. And it was, I know God allowed me to experience that so I could better understand how crafty and creative the evil one is because he'd never done that to me before. And so now I understood it for what it was, and I can share that with you. Okay, I can share that with you. I have not been tormented. It's been a real healing, and I know it was from the evil one. So anyway, I'm telling you this because we all need to understand that some of our sadness and darkness may not be of human origin. It might not be caused by someone else. It might not be caused by yourself. It may be and probably is, to some degree or another, coming from evil spirits. They are alive and well on planet Earth. Right? Jesus talked about them. St. Paul talked about them. Read the lives of the saints. You'll see what it's like. But basically, don't be obsessed with the devil, though. Do not be obsessed. Don't see him around every corner, all right? Because when you start being obsessed with him, and maybe even with the condition of the world, and you can't talk about anything good anymore because everything seems so bad, that gives him power. That gives him power. Power to put strongholds on you, to keep you depressed, to keep you hopeless about something in your life or in the world or in your family. And we are the good news people, all right? So don't be obsessed with him, but be strong in who you are as a daughter or son of God. Jesus said, this is one of my favorite verses, "In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world." The evil one is not on par with Jesus Christ. He's not on par with God our Father. He's a creature. He's a creature. He has only so much power, but you, connected to the Holy One through Jesus Christ, you have godly power within you to resist him and to tell him to go away. You have that power. So be strong. And I wanted to remind you that we are in a spiritual battle every single day. And having our spiritual armor and weapons available and using them is very important. Very important. Number one, the rosary. Wars and plagues have been stopped by people and leaders praying the rosary. It is the most powerful weapon, spiritual weapon, that we can use in many ways. It also heals. It also gives us direction. It's invaluable what can happen by praying the rosary. It is the gospel in a prayer. It's the life of Jesus and Mary in a prayer. And focusing on Jesus and the events of his life in prayer is very healing. And like I said, wars and plagues have been stopped by people praying the rosary. Then I want to share with you Ephesians 6. This is St. Paul. "Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood," but in other words, humans, "but with the principalities, the powers, and the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground." Put on the armor of God so you can resist the evil one and hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, your core where your body strength and procreative powers come from, girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, Hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember, Jesus did battle with the evil one in the desert by quoting scriptures at him. Powerful, powerful weapon. And St. Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. That's in Romans 8. And Ephesians 3 says, now that him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us. It is God's power, my friends, God's power. We can do nothing without him, but with him, we can do all things. And I just want to encourage you if you've been overwhelmed with a lot of darkness, depression, and I'm not saying that this is all depression has to do with evil spirits, but if you suffer from clinical depression, evil spirits can make it worse. So praying prayers of deliverance, you know, sending him away, that sort of thing can help. But basically, the Lord loves you with everything. He wants you to be happy. I have come that they can have life and have it abundantly, that your joy may be full. That's what he offers you. Jesus Christ is your ally. He is your commander. He is the power source. So please, please trust him. Spend some time this next week thinking about the things that I've shared with you today. Don't give up. Don't give in to despair. You know, don't give in to unforgiveness. Seek to forgive. My father was an alcoholic. It took me probably 40 years to forgive him. I finally put myself in his shoes and said, okay, if I was 40 years old, I worked my butt off and I had tremendous worldly success, and it was all taken from me and destroyed almost overnight. Would I have really been strong enough to do other than what he did? And I can honestly say, I don't know. But he didn't have Jesus either. So I forgave him. Please try to forgive. By the grace of God, you will be able to. Anyway, I will only be on the radio next week because I'm going away for my birthday. But I pray for you. Please pray for us and the station. And God bless you all. It's been such a privilege to be here with you today. Take care.